Welcome to episode 732 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The Psalms of Ascent, also known as the Songs of Ascents, or Gradual Psalms, are a collection of 15 psalms, found in the Book of Psalms, specifically Psalms 120 to 134. These psalms have a rich history, and are believed to have been sung by the Israelites as they made their way to Jerusalem for the annual religious festivals such as Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The term ascent may refer to the physical journey upward to Jerusalem, which is situated on a hill, or it may have a more spiritual connotation of drawing closer to God. The authorship of these psalms varies. Some are attributed to David, some to Solomon, and others are anonymous. They cover a range of themes, including divine protection, deliverance from distress, thanksgiving, and prayers for peace and prosperity for Jerusalem. They are also known for their brevity and poetic beauty, often expressing complex emotions and spiritual yearnings in just a few verses. These psalms were not only a part of the pilgrimage experience, but were also incorporated into temple rituals and later synagogue services. In Christian liturgical traditions, the Psalms of Ascent continue to be used, especially in the Eastern Orthodox Church, during various liturgical seasons. Overall, they offer a rich tapestry of worship, communal identity, and individual expression of faith, and they have been cherished, across centuries and traditions, for their spiritual depth. While likely recited and sung by Jesus as he traveled with his family, or with his disciples, to Jerusalem, their themes, aspirations, and insights can also be seen as foreshadowing aspects of Christ's earthly ministry.
Today's top 10 list.
10 ways the Psalms of Ascent reflect Jesus Christ's earthly ministry.
Number 1.
Pilgrimage and purpose. In the time of Jesus, Jewish pilgrimage to Jerusalem was a common and significant practice. The Torah commands all adult male Jews to appear before God 3 times per year, for 3 major festivals, Passover, Pesach, Weeks, Shavuos, and Tabernacles, Sukkot. These festivals commemorated pivotal events in Jewish history, and were central to the community's religious life. This injunction, given to Israel in the wilderness, was later interpreted to mean that they should appear at the temple, in Jerusalem. The number of pilgrims could be in the tens of thousands, possibly more. Josephus, the Jewish historian, provides figures that, while perhaps exaggerated, indicate that the numbers were large. People would come from all over Judea, Galilee, and even from more distant Jewish communities, in the diaspora, such as Egypt, Asia Minor, and Babylon. They would often travel in caravans, for safety, and would make the journey on foot, by animal, or even by boat, to ports near Jerusalem, from where they would proceed on foot. The practice of making pilgrimages to Jerusalem began in the time of the Israelite monarchy, and they were institutionalized with the building of Solomon's Temple. These continued through the Second Temple period, which is the time of Jesus. The pilgrimage practice was severely disrupted in 70 AD, with the destruction of the Second Temple by the Romans. While some Jews continued to live in Jerusalem and the surrounding area, the city's status as the central religious site was dramatically altered. Over time, especially under Byzantine, Islamic, and later Ottoman rule, the number of Jews able to make pilgrimages to Jerusalem decreased significantly. Just as pilgrims journeyed to a specific destination, Jerusalem, to meet with God, Jesus's life was marked by divine purpose, a journey toward fulfilling the will of God, culminating in his crucifixion and resurrection, yes, in Jerusalem. The pilgrimage for the Passover feast specifically foreshadows Jesus as the Lamb of God. Jesus was crucified during the Passover season, and his sacrifice is likened to that of the Paschal Lamb, a central part of the Passover observance. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, Sukkot in Hebrew, remembers Israel's wilderness journey and God's protective presence. Jesus is the ultimate manifestation of God's presence among his people, as indicated by his name Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Number 2.
Dependence on God. Psalms, like 121, express complete dependence on God, a theme echoed in Jesus' life as he often retreated to pray, and said, I can do nothing on my own. Psalm 124 verse 1 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. This psalm asserts that our help is in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the ultimate help and deliverer, saving humanity from sin and death.
Number 3.
Persecution and distress. Psalm 129 speaks of affliction from the wicked. This recalls the suffering servant in Isaiah, and is mirrored in Christ's own trials. Psalm 120 speaks of lying lips, and a deceitful tongue, reflecting the false accusations and betrayals Jesus faced.
Number 4.
Unity and fellowship. Psalm 133 celebrates the beauty of unity, reminiscent of Jesus' prayer for his disciples, in John 17, that they may be one.
Number 5.
Divine protection. Psalm 121 says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand." The idea of God, as the protector and keeper, mirrors the role of Jesus as the good shepherd, who watches over his flock. And Jesus continued to provide protection, in his earthly ministry, until he laid down his life for his sheep.
Number 6.
Deep trust. Psalm 131 verse 2, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me." Here David compares his faith to that of a contented child. Jesus often pointed to childlike faith as the ideal, and he himself trusted God implicitly. Psalm 125 speaks of the security of the one who trusts. Verse 1, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever." Jesus is the cornerstone, those who trust in him will not be moved.
Number 7.
Blessings and curses. Psalm 128 speaks of blessings for those who fear the Lord. Jesus pronounced blessings, which we call Beatitudes, in Matthew 5. In that same Sermon on the Mount, he warns about the dangers of hell, as the ultimate consequence for sin, if one does not repent. In Matthew 13, Jesus speaks various parables, such as the parable of the sower, which outlines both the blessings that come from receiving the word of God and producing fruit, as well as the consequences of not doing so.
Number 8.
Suffering and redemption. Psalms, like 130, echo themes of waiting and redemption from iniquities. Jesus' ministry was marked by his role as the Redeemer, culminating in his sacrificial death.
Number 9.
God's eternal kingship. Psalm 132 anticipates the everlasting Davidic throne. Jesus' ministry establishes him as the eternal king, in David's lineage. Psalm 126 speaks of the restoration of Zion. The theme of restoration. And the joy it brings, point to the ultimate restoration that Christ brings.
Number 10.
Praise and worship. The Psalms of Ascent often burst into praise. Psalm 134, "Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth." Similarly, Jesus' ministry led people to worship, and he himself praised the Father, setting a precedent for worship. Jesus, the ultimate high priest, calls us to a life of continual worship and blessing of God. In these ways and more, the Psalms of Ascent provide a framework or lens through which we can view and understand the themes and nuances of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Father, thank you for the Psalms of Ascent, which echo the pilgrimage of your people toward your holy presence. As we reflect on these sacred songs, we see the journey of our Savior, Jesus, mirrored in their lines. Each verse that speaks of your protection, your mercy, and your eternal promises directs our hearts to the ministry of Jesus, who embodied all these virtues and fulfilled all these hopes. May we too ascend, spiritually, as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, our ultimate pilgrim, who traversed valleys of suffering and mountains of temptation to bring us into your eternal dwelling place. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.